listening to Strange Labels.
All right, this is the Chris Brake Show. I'm Chris Brake, sitting here with John Rapp.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Chris.
What's up? All right.
What's up, man?
Let's do this. That was exciting. All right, John, we got a lot of feedback since your episode went up with you ranting and raving. Did you get any backlash from that at all?
I haven't heard a word about it from anybody. People listen to it, huh?
Yeah. Somebody said it was a wild ride. Somebody wanted to know if you were either on drugs or now off drugs.
Yeah, switching.
Yeah.
No change in my meds, no.
Hmm. No backlash at all.
No, my parents don't listen to the show. They don't listen to it, don't watch it. Not a fan, I guess.
Wow.
I haven't heard a thing about it.
I would not expect that.
I guess I did, just because I know that they don't listen to the show, because my dad's so afraid that he's going to hear me saying the F word in relation to him.
I think you did.
Did I? I don't think so, but maybe I did.
I liked what you said when you were writing the blog post.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Because what you have to do is you listen to the episodes, and then you write show notes. You know, you write what happens in the episode. And since the whole thing was you complaining about your dad, I imagine you worked yourself up into a frenzy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like, dude, I don't know what to write for this, because right now all I got is my dad is a fag.
Yeah, I sent you a text. It's like, Chris, man, help me out, dude. I don't even know where to start.
I'm like, well, I don't think you should say that. I think you should be objective. Write it in the third person or something.
And I took all those advices and I turned them into a blog post. And
yeah,
there's no F word in there.
It looked pretty professional.
Did it?
Yeah.
I used the sarcasm code.
What's that?
It's a fake HTML code where it looks like you say sarcasm on, and you say something sarcastic, and you turn it off.
Oh. I think I might have saw that.
Yeah, it's in there.
So you said last episode that you were looking forward to listening to it. So you could see how it was perceived, or, you know what I mean? That's something
yeah.
You say, you're like, I'm looking forward to listening to this. I just want to document this.
Yeah.
What happened when you listened to it?
I haven't listened back to it yet. I don't really like the sound of my own voice, so that kind of creeps me out. And plus, that whole deal with one night my dad heard me playing some sounds, because I walk around recording stuff all the time just to document it. You know, I'm documenting this just so nobody in the future can say, oh, well, what happened was you're the one that shot the guy.
What?
I have it on tape. You're the one that shot the guy.
Wait, so you just walk around your day-to-day life just recording audio?
Yeah, lots of found sounds circulating around.
Like in that Norman Wexler way, like Mr. X from that Bob's Moodle book, that crazy guy?
I remember Norman, but I don't remember what he did with audio. He just recorded everything, just
constantly. Like the guy, they say the guy was schizophrenic.
Right.
But yeah, he would.
Thanks, Chris.
He would walk around with, he hired a guy to walk around and follow him around with two tape recorders in case one of them went out. And he would change the tape constantly. Yeah.
Wow. He just had tapes upon tapes. Why did he do it? It's crazy?
I think so. They said it helped him write.
Yeah.
That he would go back and listen to these, and it would help him write his screenplays. Because the guy, I think, was Academy Award nominated.
Really?
I mean, he wrote Saturday Night Fever and a few other movies. Norman Wexler, look him up.
Yeah, do look that guy up, man. I'd like to get him on the show.
I believe he's dead.
Oh, I still want
him. Yeah, he was. That's
holograms.
Why. In Mr. X, or in Bob's Moodle's book, when he was talking about this guy, he kept calling Mr. X.
I love that guy.
They say that the reason, they're like, I don't understand why he wouldn't put his name in there, because Bob's Moodle kept saying, I'm basically in fear for my life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say his name. And but everyone's like, this guy died before the book was published, so he wouldn't have.
Yeah, and then you get into Bob's Moodle, and that guy, you can't trust him as far as you can throw him. He's always playing some type of prank or something, right?
I believe so. Bob's Mood is Andy Kaufman's best friend and writer. If Andy Kaufman had best friends.
Yeah, that's what he claims he was, yeah.
So you didn't even listen to that episode, John?
Not yet. Here's why. Because one time my dad, here's something else he yelled at me about, or whatever. One time, apparently I was in my closet listening to one of these recordings that I'd made, and he overheard it, and he heard me saying the F word about him, like, my F and dad, F him, this, that, and the F, it's that. I was like, dude, I heard this from my mom, because he tells her stuff. And then she tells me stuff. And then I tell her stuff, and she tells him stuff. But I was like, dude, how did he even know what I'm talking about? Like, he's not, you know, like through a closet, you know, is that really clear, you know, audio quality? Like,
and did you have your, hear that well anyway. Did you have your bedroom door closed?
Yeah.
If
I was in my closet, the door was closed and probably locked.
What are you doing in your closet?
Apparently I can't, you know, if I was, yeah, I go in there to listen to, I go in there to record stuff. Like if I have something that I want to say, like this just happened and, you know, it makes me, drives me nuts. Cause that's what my psychiatrist said to do. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing good.
I stand by what I said last time.
He's just being, he's lazy.
Yeah. You need to get a new psychiatrist.
I think you're right. I've yet to find one that's, you know, can keep me mentally in check. I always end up telling them what I'm going to do. And I don't like that. I don't like it one bit.
Yeah. What's the point of going to a psychiatrist?
Well, I meant psychologist. And psychologist is there to hear you complain about stuff. And then they're supposed to be like, oh, well, here's what it is. What I do is I go in there. I'm like, here's what it is. I already know, you know, what is going on. You know, this, that, and the other. My parents don't.
And what they have to do is figure out how to explain to you that you're wrong.
That'd be nice. Yeah, that would be great. But he always agrees with me. And I keep telling him, I want you to tell me I'm wrong about this. No, what you're saying is right. I can't be. I don't know what I'm talking about, right?
You need to look at the guy and say, look, I'm destroying all the relationships that I have around me.
That's a good one.
You know, like, I can't, it can't be both ways. You know, like, I can't be 100% right in this. Like,
right.
You know, like, if I'm right, why, you know, everybody in the world can't be wrong.
Well, it's not everybody in the world. It's my parents.
Ever at this moment.
Yeah, I generally get along with people. Like Jane, the dog trainer, came over today. She was telling my parents about what a good job I'm doing, trying to quit cigarettes and all that stuff. She's like, oh, he's doing a great job. He's a good kid.
Wait, why is Jane, the dog trainer, giving an update on your life to your parents?
Because my parents don't have any friends that come over to the house, so I hired Jane, the dog trainer, to come over to the house. And she turns out she's like some Jewish, you know, into like Jewish, you know, messianic stuff like my mom is, you know, doesn't celebrate Christmas like my mom. And so I was like, hey, mom, here's a friend that you can have. Mom, hey, mom, you should talk to Jane. And they're sharing books or whatever.
You're always trying to help people.
Well, here's what it is. I bring the dog train over. My mom yaks her ear off, you know, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, mom, half of my dog training lesson was used with you yakking her ear off, you know. So it's like, okay, I get it, you know.
I'm just going to pay this woman to come over here and be your friend.
Basically, whoa. Yeah. Chad C. Meek is calling.
I guess, yeah, this is a guest we had that sent us a thing. We put up an ad. Should we answer it? Yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Is this Chad Meek?
This is him.
Author of Giant Rock the Book and Giant Rock the Movie?
Yes, that's me. Yes. You got me.
Sweet. Giant Rock the Book, available on Kindle for $4.99.
Yes.
We put
like
up...
two.
Huh?
Go ahead.
All right, I got to explain the audience. So we put up a ad on this website saying, you know, we want to interview people. And this guy here, Mr. Meek, contacted us and said that he was a author and a UFO abductee. So tell me about these aliens, guy.
The aliens. There's a whole bunch of them. They're walking amongst us. But as far as my own abduction experiences, basically they started at 4 and ended at 10. And actually the identifiable creed would be the Greys, the ones with the weird eyes and short little fellows that, you know, stick metal objects in various orifices of my body. But that's who got me, and that's who tried to get me many multiple times.
You can describe what they look like. You said they look like Paul from that movie with Seth Rogen.
Yeah, right. They look like,
really what they looked like?
They look effing sinister. They're the most sinister, evil looking things you'd want to run across. But
Paul looked cute.
Yeah, well, you know, in the movies, things look cuter. the camera did him justice.
Well, he wasn't real in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
What do you mean? So from the age of 4 to the age of 10, how did they abduct you?
The one that I vividly remember, okay, that they actually, you know, they got me was they teleported me out of my grandmother's house between my two brothers out to a silver disc, which is roughly about 50 feet outside and this all happened out in the desert at a place called Giant Rock. Incidentally, the book is called Giant Rock. There's a real place called Giant Rock. It's located out in the middle of the desert. Near Palm Springs, about 40 miles northeast as a crow would fly. And that was where it happened. There's it's a hotbed of UFO activity out there. My uncle's name was George Van Tassel, who led the whole UFO contactee experiencer movement from like the 50s all the way to his death in 78. But there was a lot of activity going on out there.
What kind of activity?
Sightings. My uncle was the original UFO channeler. If you know, you hear the word channel, well, that was him. He was the first guy when he was talking to Life magazine. They were asking, well, how do you do this? He says, it's like a TV channel in my mind. I'm able to communicate with them, and I can vis-a-vis just kind of change different channels within my brain and contact various entities in outer space. So
just sounds crazy to me, though.
It does. I mean, all this stuff sounds absolutely crazy. But, you know, when you think about craziness, when there's like 100 billion galaxies and many, many planets just like us, you know, you can just make one hell of assumption that there's creatures and people like us out there at some form, some organisms and things like that that are out there. And so consequently that they would actually visit. But the one culture that seems to have been, especially during the 50s and 60s, which was the height of the abduction time period, the Greys were rampant. And this one study that came out of Harvard, they claimed that there was at least 2 million people that have been abducted specifically by the Greys, because the same identification marks keeps coming up over and over and over and over. So they've been fingered.
What's the marks?
Excuse me?
Oh, this is John here. What's the marks, the identifying marks you mentioned? Marks show up everywhere. What are they?
I don't recall seeing marks, but identifying people, the description, what would happen is people would give written and verbal description of these aliens, and the same descriptions would come up over and over and over again as far as explaining what they were doing and how they looked. And so that was the big study. In fact, there's actually a film that's going to be coming out about that guy that did the study. He was a psychiatrist out of Harvard, and they did this huge study. And anyways, they that kind of validate a lot of people's
now here's what's crazy to me is like I do believe that there is life out there, you know, I want to believe, but you know, like it's like, I mean, you seem like a pretty intelligent, normal dude, you know, but I have difficulty believing that you or anybody else, you know, has been abducted by aliens, you know, just because I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, you know, it's not like this is something that, you know, I've ran large oil and gas companies, mining companies. I've done investment banking. Until about 5 or 6 years ago, I told very few people about my experiences as far as this. It's not something you jump up and down about. So yeah, I mean, the only thing I can tell other people who haven't experienced this is that once you do, then you're kind of, your eyes are kind of opened. And so belief becomes more of a reality.
Are there ways to increase your chances of being abducted?
Yeah, you know what? I was on the Slim Shady show, and I told this guy, I said, yeah, I just got the
Slim Shady show.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good show.
Yeah, I told him to stand on. I had him engrossed. I told him, I said, stand up, go out in the desert.
What the fuck?
Stand on one leg, is this hop an M&M up and down, show? And then you'll bring attention to yourself. The bottom line is that I don't have any idea.
Hold on, I gotta slow you down, Chad. What the hell are you talking about, John? He said stand.
Oh, stand. I thought he said Slim Shady, and then he's like, he did say Slim Shady. Slim Shady Show, and then it's like the host's name is Stan. I was like, wait a minute, what is this? Stan from the Slim Shady Show. Before, sounds like an Eminem
before
prank.
We move on about what you, before we move on about what.
One leg, hop up and down. Anyway, I was just, I don't know. And then the one guy said that, he goes, oh my gosh, he says, he was telling me that aliens were in fact prejudiced, that one of the black guys on the show. I go, no, they're not. I said, hey, you know, that abduction up in
the aliens are prejudiced.
Right. You, how come no brothers are abducted? It was really kind of funny. Yeah.
I think they don't be abducting no brothers, man.
I believe Riley Martin said that they're prejudiced as well.
Barney Hill blew that statement away because that's the most famous, notorious of all the abduction things. And the guy was black. So anyways, I had to explain that to him.
All right, I got to slow you down just for John's sake. Tell me about Ken Kniff.
Ken Kniff, I don't know Ken Kniff.
Well, from Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut.
What was this? What was this Slim Shady Show? We need all the details on this before we can move on.
It was there. It was their network. It was the Eminem's
Shade 45.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
you were on there, Sway in the morning.
Yeah, that was about a year ago. It was funny. To tell you the truth, you know, I mean, I get in with all these very serious people and all these, you know, black op peoples, and everyone's so effing serious. These shows are absolutely a relief. At least I can have a little bit of fun with this stuff because, I mean, it's like it's a life and death. You get in this black op stuff and it just gets really intense. So, yeah, this is fun. Yeah.
Does the government have alien technology?
Absolutely, they've got tons of it. Yeah, that's been going on. It's so, you know, there's been another government, shadow government's been going on, and they've actually been traveling. There have been jump off spots where people have actually gone to Mars. You know, all this stuff sounds so sci-fi, which is what I do. You know, I wrote a science fiction book based on actual events called Giant Rock, so I got some of this stuff in there, which is, you know, should pique somebody's interest out there.
Hold on, so. Just so for our listeners to understand what you're saying here, you know, about the government, about them using the government using alien technology. So there's somehow what aliens have landed. Is that the claim? And then the government has their technology and is like reverse engineering it.
Yeah, that's well. Actually, there's a couple things. Number one, you know, as far as transistors and fiber optics, there's no patents on them. They were just gifts that showed up out of nowhere that literally put us light years ahead of everybody the rest of the world.
Where do you think we got that stuff from?
Yeah, we got it from, it's alien technology. It's what it is.
What's an example of one?
Well, transistors. You know, we were, you know, as far as that microprocessing, fiber optics. I mean, you know, just think of the advanced technology that we actually enjoy right now. In fact, we're talking on it right now, but we're light years ahead of anybody else.
Are there any documents where people who like actually come out and say, you know, like the guy who worked on the transistor who will say where he got the? You know,
what's so funny is that there's no patents on a lot of this technology.
That is weird.
Nowhere. Okay, so that's one of the things that really intrigues me about it.
Just because there's no patents doesn't mean they came out of nowhere.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, listen, if you had a patent for fiber optics, wouldn't you want to have your name on that patent?
Yeah, that makes sense. That is what somebody is still, the transistor radio is still unpatented to this day.
It's about the money.
Is that correct? Is that correct? These technologies are still remain unpatented?
Yeah.
Can I go patent the transistor radio? What's stopping me?
I'm thinking, I don't understand, but they don't, there's all kinds of variations of it now, but the original patents, there was nobody that actually had claimed this stuff. So it's just insane. Where'd it come from? And then it goes back to Roswell.
But wasn't the patent system kind of like new back then?
No. It's been around forever. Yeah.
Yeah, but not everybody knew. I don't know. I thought it was weird because like Edison, wasn't he like the king of patenting things? And
yeah, he has like a billion patents.
Yeah, the patent, you know, I mean, heck, Tesla, I mean, all these people, I mean, we're talking, this is actually after, but
Tesla was bad with patents.
Yeah, he got screwed for patents.
You ever watch this Ancient Alien show?
I'm so bled out on on all ancient.
Is that
aliens.
Not the stupidest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life?
You know, it just gets so redundant, and, you know, it's...
Well, my buddy was trying to tell me about how the pyramids and all these things are built by aliens, and all the stuff he's saying is, you know, I'm just looking at him, and, you know, I mean, he's not a dumb guy by any means, and he's just telling, he's like, no, he's like, this wood, or, you know, this stone cannot be carved this way, and I never watched a show, but he's like, just reciting all this stuff to me, and I'm like, I don't believe that. Like, what do you mean? He's like, they didn't have the technology to cut the rock like that. I'm like, I call bullshit on that. Of course they did. Like anybody could do that.
Yeah, well,
you know, like
I wasn't there, so I can't tell you about
Stonehenge?
The pyramids. Yeah,
nah,
the pyramids.
There's, I don't know. There's,
on every continent, how they were built and why they were built similarly, and all that stuff. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah,
you know,
but
than,
like
than
so.
I
was like, I looked at him and I said, dude, I was like, just, I was like, I don't believe anything you're saying. I know you do, but have you, I was like, have you ever like gone to a website to see the counter argument on any of these things?
Have you ever done some actual research? You know?
Yeah, and I went. But at the time, I didn't know he was quoting
aliens?
Ancient.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was quoting ancient aliens at the time.
Listen, I tell
quoting
everyone.
Quoting ancient aliens, yeah, that's
now, listen, problem. Listen. So I have this, you know, I look it up right in front of the guy, and, you know, I found the exact quotes that he was quoting, you know, from that show, and I saw a sourced, cited counter-argument.
Right.
You know, to where, like, the guy's saying the rock's made out of this, and it weighs 18,000 tons, and there's no way this could have happened. And the counter-argument is, if you actually do research and go to the Smithsonian or go to any of these places where it's registered, it's made out of completely different material than this guy's claiming, which is soft enough to cut, and it didn't weigh 18,000 tons. It weighed 4,000 tons. You know what I mean? So, like, the guy, they're just blatantly lying.
Right, and that's blown out of
proportion. From a spot down the Nile River, and they floated them up, and they had various contraptions, but that's a different animal. I don't know. I'm not a pyramid guy. Although it's very intriguing how these things popped up. So it's just something.
Everything on that ancient aliens is blatant lies.
Yeah.
They deliver it like it's fact. And, and it's such a, I mean, you know, it's on what, Discovery or something? You get sucked in, you know?
You
and
think
it's like,
real.
It's very, very easy to believe that.
Don't believe it. Ancient aliens.
Yeah, we were looking at you know, maybe doing something with the History Channel with my uncle, because you know, my uncle was very interesting, because he used to, you know, he was Howard Hughes' right hand man. He was no slouch himself. I mean, you know, he was doing a lot of stuff with Howard. Howard Hughes used to fly out to Giant Rock. He used to spend time there. When I was a little kid, I used to eat eggs and pancakes with the dude before he went insane. But a lot of really high power, a lot of military, all this stuff was going on out at Giant Rock, because there was this 10-mile dry lake that was out there. People landed, all kinds of planes, all kinds of stuff. It was a really hotbed of stuff.
Have I seen you on? Have I seen you on documentaries before? Because this sounds really familiar. This Giant Rock.
Yeah, your voice does too.
I don't know. I've done some stuff on this stuff. But yeah. But
I watched something.
Like,
yeah, just that one thing.
This is where I grew up, and what I'm doing is basically just kind of bringing the story that I was around with all these crazy people and all that stuff, my own crazy experiences, and I'm just getting it as a feature film. You know, kind of a. To, you know, roll it out to, you know, be of interest. You know, I'm more on the entertainment side. You know, the fact checkers and all the other stuff, that's a whole different animal. I, you know, based my movie's based on actual real events. But the fact checkers, they can do whatever they want as far
as this Giant Rock. Is that like the place where like the kids will go out there and just take like a 12 pack with them and get sloshed and look for sightings?
Became that. It really did.
Yeah.
I think I might have seen you on something, unless you...
I actually, you know, when I was a little kid, I used to play down there. There's a piano. They used to hold huge meetings inside of this 8-story rock. It's really intriguing. The energy is just extraordinary.
Meetings inside an 8-story rock. That rocks.
That rocks, dude.
No, but really. It does. Is it like carved out inside? The giant rock has meetings inside of it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, a guy named Frank Kreitzer lived up there for 11 years. My uncle lived there for a couple of years inside of the rock. I mean, it was, the temperature was perfect in the winter, perfect in the summer. When it was 110 outside, it'd be like 68.
What's the deal with this giant rock place? You know, if science looked into it, what's your theory? Or did the aliens tell you why they're doing this with the giant rock?
Well, you know, obviously it's a big marker. I mean, you know.
It's a giant rock.
Yeah, it's a giant rock. You've got this huge landing strip, dry lake, perfect landing strip, natural landing strip, and then you have this giant rock right next to it. So if you're
an
alien,
it's not that big though. I mean, it's not like you can see it from space or something.
Eight stories. Yeah, yeah. It's big, dude. It's one of the biggest in the world.
Coming from a million light years away, you know, a giant rock's not really going to help you find a place. Well, I guess once you get to the general area, you see the giant rock.
Check this out.
It's probably like the giant the dry lake. I don't know. Good question.
Check this out, John. I'm reading the Wikipedia here. This giant rock is a freestanding boulder that covers 5,800 square feet. 5,800 square feet. That's fucking huge.
It's big.
It says it's purported to be the largest freestanding boulder in the world. That's insane.
Holy ground by the Native Americans. Okay, that's enough answer for me.
So it says that you're who's George Van Tassel to you? You said your dad?
He's my uncle.
Your uncle? Your uncle says on this Wikipedia, at least the...
Uncle.
Yeah, your Uncle George.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it says he looking on land. So he leased that land.
BLM, yeah. He had controlled that land through mining claims and BLM, yeah, for all the years till he died.
He's a legend, says this site.
He is a legend.
The legends, Charlie Rice, Frank
Stryker. He's revered. That's why the story really has legs. He's revered. I haven't been able to go anywhere in the world without somebody knowing who my uncle was and spending most of my free time talking about some of the technology and some of the research he had done. He built this Integraton, this huge dome out there, which was a time machine. And
you can't just say something like that. But what now? It's a time machine? That's awesome, man. That rocks.
And then then check this out. I run into people who, like physicists and, you know, astrophysicists and other people who actually had worked with him. And again, I mean, I've had all these people tell me, you don't know what's going on, you know, et cetera. I said, well, yeah, I used to play in the thing. I was a little kid, you know, I mean, in the 60s, I was around all this stuff. And then there were 11 to 15,000 people show up out in the middle of the desert. Where basically I didn't see 250 people all year. It's just like a huge circus. So I said, hey, man, before everyone dies, I need to get this thing on film and show some people what, you know, in fact it is.
It says that on this Wikipedia, it says a single large room, which was subsequently filled in, was dug beneath the rock and resided in by a prospector named Frank Kreitzer, who you were talking about, during the 40s, 30s and early 40s.
Yep.
He was a friend of Van Tassel's. And he perished in a self-detonated dynamite explosion in this room in 1942 while being investigated by local police. What was he being investigated for?
No, he was killed. No, they thought he was a German immigrant. He spoke broken English, and he built this huge tower with a shortwave radio and was speaking in German during the war all over North America. So they thought he was a spy. And so, no, he didn't kill himself. They killed him.
So why did he kill himself?
No, he didn't kill himself. No, what had happened is
it
that
it says self-detonated on the Wikipedia.
Would he kill himself, though?
Yeah, why would you kill yourself? No, actually, he wouldn't come out. So what they did is he was a miner.
He wouldn't come out of the cave.
He had dynamite. He had nitroglycerin down there. And guess what? They threw smoke and to get him out of there, and it ignited, and he got eviscerated. Blew his body completely into smithereens in the middle of the rock.
They tried to smoke him out, and it ignited the dynamite.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, he didn't kill himself. No. Uh-uh.
So that has nothing to do with the aliens and stuff. It's just the people trying to smoke them out were just idiots or they didn't care.
Yeah, but actually Frank Kreitzer, and I did research on this. My uncle met him in 1930. My uncle actually backed him to go out there in 1930. He came in to this gas station in Santa Monica. My uncle and his uncle backed him with the money to go out there and do that because he had this vision that he'd got from this Council of Seven Lights. He was supposed to go out there and mine and you know, create this movement out there. So he went out there, and he was the original space channel. He was actually the original space channeler. So he was and my uncle was visiting back and forth for all during that time period. Then Frank got killed out there. Then my uncle, about 6 years after that, came out and brought the whole family out there.
It says that that it's split in half.
Oh yeah, there's a Hopi shaman.
What?
Yeah, Hopi shaman had no. It's a prophecy. It said if this thing splits in half, then Mother Earth doesn't like was disillusioned with man and would not accept the prayers given on behalf of it. But
all rocks are gonna fucking split in half.
But if the rocks stayed on the side, revealing pressure on the Earth's tectonic plates, then man's prayers were answered and a new era.
You're mumbling.
However, if the rock split on the side, relieving pressure on the Earth's
getting closer to the mic does not reduce mumbling. Don't get closer to the mic.
However, okay, let me read this. They say it's a vortex, a very powerful vortex for physical and spiritual healing.
Yeah, that is true. That is it's there's some weird energy out there, man. It really
so you
was.
Believe in God and aliens?
Yeah, it's all the same thing. No, we're all
you think the aliens are God? Okay, so you're on the
like
new
this
age
guy.
Trip.
Yeah. It's all the same thing.
Oh, it's stuff on the stuff.
God's a fucking alien.
Well,
get over
well,
it.
Well, deal think with about, it. You know, like Ezekiel's will and all
that. Tells me about Ezekiel's will. What is that?
And the Nephilim and all the angels who came down and bred with the daughters of man and all that stuff. What were those people? Do you think those people, what, Could they be aliens, or were they angels? And what's the difference?
They were fallen angels. What's that? What is the Ezekiel's wheel? What is that? I've been hearing about this. I heard a song called "Chilling with Ezekiel's Wheel." It's like, what the hell is Ezekiel's wheel? And you mentioned
it. It's in the Bible, and he's talking about Ezekiel's wheel that came out of the sky, and he's describing a spaceship. Okay, so yeah, I mean, if you read close in the Bible, all they're talking about is aliens. So that's when people, you know, they want to get semantical with me as far as angels or aliens. I think they're one or the same. Oh,
huh? Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel? Do you agree with that, John?
I think they're fallen angels. I think they're the third of the angels that got cast out of heaven that followed Lucifer, and they're trying to destroy mankind, and they're trying to trick us. And here they are, and they're about to do it.
They're tricking us again.
The aliens?
Yeah. They're not quote aliens. They're the deceiver. They're the bad guys that are trying to kill us.
What are fallen angels?
Demons.
Tell me what a fallen angel is. They fall out of the sky? Is that what an angel does?
It refers to the fall of the angels. There's a war in heaven, and it's like Satan. This guy Lucifer said, like, oh, I'm really God and I'm awesome. He's worshiping me. And God said, no, you can't do that. You have to leave. And so a third of the angels went with him and said, we're going to leave and worship this guy. And now they fight amongst each other trying to deceive us.
I love this. This is good. You know, part of my thing is comparative religions.
I love religious stuff. This Hopi shaman thing's got me flipping out, blowing my brain, dude.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
It just rocks so much. This topic rocks.
Oh no, it's huge. And actually, this is what's so strange about all. I mean, this is weird science, strange world, et cetera, et cetera. The people come out of the woodwork as far as that have some sort of connection or story about the rock or the integraton as far as this whole thing. I mean, I run to people. It's just crazy the stories I've heard about this. And I mean, it goes from very, very weird. I mean, as in disappearing people, the stories are just incredible that I've heard.
Chad. And,
yeah.
Let's get down to brass tacks here. What'd they put in your butthole?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, they steal instruments were definitely present at the earth. And you know, it's funny, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Is it the classic abduction story, steal things?
And I had a steel rod go to the back of my spine. I mean, you know, yeah,
spinal
oh yeah.
Tap.
No, you got was, a spinal really tap, dude. That kind of rocks. But what about the bum hole? Did you get it up the bum hole?
Yeah, I think every hole had an instrument in it.
Why do you think they're doing that? Are they testing us or what are they doing?
I think they're looking for, various DNA. They're doing a lot of, there's things called, hominoids. You know, they're basically out there. I think they're trying to take DNA and do some DNA splicing with their own dying race or whatever they're trying to do. That's my guess.
Hybrid breeding program, you say? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Why would they send you back?
That is a great question.
So you can go tell
people about them?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, actually, I know. You know what? I never told anybody about this until I didn't tell my wife about this until 2 years after we were married.
Why?
I was not.
No.
This is something that, if you told somebody this at 4 years old, they would probably think that there was something wrong with you.
Right.
So, no, I never did. I mean, I told, you know, when I was like 15 and 16, my sister had an experience. With the sighting, and my brother had another weird. We compared notes when we were like in our teens, but other than that,
How do you know? Do you know when they're coming, or is it just like boom? What the fuck's going on?
Well, actually, I always get premonitions, like as far as in dreams when I see a sighting. And I've seen about 27 actual bona fide, and we're talking UFOs. That means unidentified flying objects. I cannot explain them. They're not a plane, not a helicopter. I can't explain them, but I've had about 27 of them, my whole entire life. And I do get premonitions about them.
What about those explanations that they were, those flying saucers that we saw were like originally surveillance, like audio surveillance equipment that the government was working on and didn't want anybody to know about it, so that's why they covered it up.
Well, now with the black ops and all the people that have come forward, you don't know the difference between them or ours, because our technology has just grown exponentially that most people would have no clue that even exists. That's out there, and they are buzzing us, and so I don't know. But that's why I'm saying that as far as UFOs, probably the last 15 or 20 years, of sightings I've had recently, I don't know. They could even be, you know, one of our own. I don't know.
What about that?
Yeah.
What about that farmer? That was the best story ever. The farmer, I don't know, what was that, 50s or something? And they, you know, they, these big silver discs were reported flying, you know, or pieces of them. And this guy fucking saw one and it had these tentacles hanging off of it. And he like grabbed one of the tentacles and the thing like carried him away, but he kept hanging on. And eventually brought the thing down, and it was like a giant silver balloon that like Germany or Russia had sent off, and each tentacle was a rope with bombs hanging off of it. And it was like,
You know, I saw that. I just saw that somewhere. Yeah.
And these bombs, they still find them every once in a while, these undetonated bombs, because they sent like
thousands
of these things. And as the, you know, I think like each, a balloon was timed to pop so it wouldn't get, so it would just stay in this certain, you know, like a weather field at the top. I don't remember the details. I'm not a scientist, but it was, I don't know, it was pretty awesome, and it worked.
Yeah.
Like half of them went into the ocean, but the other half made it to the United States and would just fucking blow up random shit. These balloons sent over the ocean with bombs on them.
That's a Hail Mary.
I think the balloons came from Japan. I think Japan. They were actually.
That's a long travel, dude. Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. Let's put bombs on balloons and just kind of let them go over there.
And this, one of them flew over this guy's field. He's like, "What the hell?" And he fucking grabbed
one of the alien.
Yeah, there's like these silver balls hanging off, you know. And he like grabbed one of them, and the thing just kept going. And he went on a ride, you know.
That's a wild ride, man.
Yeah, and he was able to like tie the thing to a tree, you know. And then the government thanked him, and because people were finding pieces of this shrapnel. I mean, obviously, it looked like a UFO, like this big flying disc, which it was a UFO until they realized what it was.
Well, I mean, yeah. Listen, it's so easy.
That was hot.
Yeah.
You'll get it when you hear it back. You looped.
So did they implant you with anything? You have an implant?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. No.
My buddy has this special mark, like inside of two of his teeth, and the dentist said that he's only seen it once before in his life, and it's the weirdest thing he'd ever seen. I think he had it too, and said that he likes to think that it's aliens.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing the next day I could not complete it, you know, a complete sentence, and I had a really high temperature. That was the only real side effects as far as my experiences back then. You know, I've heard of it. I've heard of implants. Go ahead.
I say now that could be explained as you know, just like when you get a fever or something like that, you can hallucinate real bad. That's happened to me. I was just freaking out over something, and I woke up the next day and had vague recollection of running around the house screaming, grabbing people, you know, just because I was sick, and I started like hallucinating, having these freakouts.
Yeah, I wasn't sick the night before. I wasn't sick the night before, but yeah, I woke up with a really high fever. I don't know what they're doing. That's generally an indication that they put something in, and you know, I've had
so they did
you know,
implant.
Oh yeah, but I don't have any now.
I'm on a couple of UFO websites doing research, and they're making things crazy. They're making the computer go crazy. These UFO websites.
Oh, that's our fault.
I think so.
Well, only one website at a time, John.
Right,
we're on the old machine.
They know who you are.
That's what it is, and I'm now being gang stalked, so you know, it's working. So you're telling me that's a sign of that was very eerie. You know something. You tell them gang stalkers, you know, come bring it on. They can have a sandwich with me. Don't you? So you said, but a fever is a sign of getting an implant, but you said you know you're not implanted. How do you know? And would you like to know?
Well,
would you like to be?
Since then, I've had X-rays. I've had.
Yeah, you've done the X-rays.
Sound,
okay.
All crap. There's nothing there, so I don't know.
You got off easy.
Do you ever like?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't explain it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because you seem very level-headed. You know, you're not out there doing crazy, foolish shit. But like, if you saw I'm not saying you're crazy by any means. But I'm saying if you saw a psychiatrist, we were talking about psychiatrists and psychologists earlier, and you told them this, like, what do you think their initial reaction would be? Would they say? I mean, would they humor you with the idea, or I guess it depends on the psychologist, or do you think they'd like try and medicate you?
Well, I think nowadays they'd probably try to medicate you. But
it's not affecting your life.
Yeah. What they generally do? They do regressive therapy, which I've done it twice, you know, that's generally what they try to do is regressive hypnotherapy, and they try to bring you back. But, you know, I don't know how effective that stuff is. I've never been able to forget about any of these experiences I've had, you know, as far as that.
That's what they do to, that's what Jeff Bridges does to
I don't know. But, you know, the data's out there. Yeah.
Yeah, that, remember that old K-Pax? That's what they did to Prote.
They regressed him.
Yeah, they regressed him because he was the other way around. He was claiming to be an alien. then they regressed him and realized that he was a human being, you know, who,
from the planet K-Pax.
No,
it was his delusion
that he drowned. You know, he had water. There was something weird like that.
Oh, wow.
What do you think? Do you think any of those alien movies are on or off? Like, do you think they're close to the reality?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind's probably the closest one. My uncle was actually the creative consultant for that one, Steven Spielberg's, and that was a composite of a bunch of events that occurred. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. So you're running with all the great filmmakers, yeah. Steven Spielberg, so Howard Hughes.
Yeah, Fire in the Sky.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. I remember Chris told me about this movie. It was in grade school. I was like, oh, man, you want to see a good movie? Check this out, Fire in the Sky.
That was the one that you could get at McDonald's.
Yeah. Field of Dreams, I got that at McDonald's once. But, yeah, Fire in the Sky, that freaked me out, dude. Thanks, Chris.
That's what I'm here for, brother. I tried to watch that Fire in the Sky recently, and it sucked.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That Paul is excellent.
They should redo it. What's Paul? What is that?
I don't know. How would you explain it, Chad? Paul?
I don't know.
Paul.
It's those two guys from those movies.
I don't know.
It's that
how
guy.
How do you explain that, huh?
It's that Shaun of the Dead guy. It's that Simon Pegg.
Oh, and his friend is like
Nick Frost.
Okay. Those guys are pretty good duo.
Yeah, and they're like go to Comic-Con and they're going to Roswell and they're on this like alien tour, you know?
Right,
alien tour's big business. I mean, I'm telling you what, this whole alien thing is, you know, I've been invited to, you know, to speak various places. It's not my thing. I mean, I'm just a filmmaker, you know, and I just don't want to go do that. I mean, I do radio. I do a lot of radio shows and all that stuff to get the thing. But I have no, you know what? I have no. I'm not trying. You know, I'm the kind of person that I really don't care what people believe. I'm not trying to convince you.
On that note, that
anything as far as this stuff goes, because it really, I have no dog in the hunt, you know. Right. I just know what happened to me, and I know, you know, a few people I ran into. You know, I mean, if somebody came to me and told me what I tell people happened to me, I wouldn't be. I'm not sure how credible it would be even for myself. I mean, I know what happened to me, but I don't know the other person. So you know, you always have the big question mark. So
yeah,
but
it's
I'm not
annoying.
Trying,
it's annoying because everyone's like, hey, you know, somebody will be like, hey, I saw this really cool thing.
Brotherly love, like, they're here to help us.
All you saw was Venus and swamp gas.
Oh, so you're saying that Stephen Hawking is wrong.
Wow, you heard it here first. Chad C. Meek calling out old Steve Hawking over there.
No. He actually, you know what he says?
He said don't contact him because they're going to make us slaves and kill us all.
Yeah, he definitely warned us from bringing those guys through on CERN, you know, bringing them through.
He brings up the Indian. He says what they're going to do is they're going to colonize us and make us slaves, which I basically take exception.
It's possible.
To the man in the wheelchair about that,
hey.
You know. But I do because it doesn't make any sense because the technology they have, if you can travel basically quietly, you know, and, you know, roam around planet Earth, travel at light speed.
You see that theory of everything, man? That made me ball my eyes out.
And so you already have the capabilities to be able to kill us anyway. So
what if they're not aliens from a different dimension or whatever? What if they're something else?
Something else, what are you referring to?
I don't know. What
do you mean? What do you mean another dimension?
Well, I didn't mean to say that. What if they're
are from another dimension?
Or from another dimension, yeah. And that's what the whole demon theory is. It's some bad stuff from other dimensions coming through.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah, like,
I don't know what the difference is, but I don't want them over here if they're going to fuck us up.
Like that Are You Afraid of the Dark episode when Sardo gives him those glasses?
Sardo.
Accent on the dough. And they give him those glasses, and the kids put them on, and they see all these shadow people, and then eventually they're surrounded by them in a different dimension. They get sucked into it and never come back. And it's like one of the only Are You Afraid of the Darks that ends badly, and, you know, the kids don't win.
Well, yeah, I've seen the ones where the kids don't win. I've seen a few of them. They're good. That gets trapped in the machine or the game or whatever forever.
You guys watch a lot of TV, don't you?
It's just like that movie They Live with Roddy Piper in it.
That's a trip, yeah.
He puts glasses on.
You know,
it's
I don't wear that stuff.
You don't wear the glasses? Yeah. You should, man. You should try wearing them.
No, I don't wear the glasses. In fact, I used to be, I'll tell you a story. I was at Morton Thiokol. We were doing this huge oil and gas exploration, exploration program out in Nevada. And so I'm trying to get this, scientific group involved in this thing, Morton Thiokol. They had all their rocket scientists. I figured they'd be interested in wanting to find out what's, in the center of the state of Nevada. And this one guy comes in and he goes, you look like a guy that I know. And I go, well, no, not me. I don't know anybody. He says, yeah, where are you from? I said, I'm from California. He goes, where in California? And they said, goes on. The guy will not let up on me. He says, where'd you grow up? I said, well, a place out near, near Yucca Valley, near Landers. He says, you look like George Van Tassel. And I go, oh, God, I know where this is going. So it's never been like, I used to sit there, and I know you guys don't smoke marijuana. First of all, I absolutely know that. But me and my buddies in the let's call it in the 70s, we'd sit around and we would have these bamboo instruments and sit around and watch TV. My uncle would pop up and he was on like 500 TV stations, shows telling about what he is. So my uncle would show up on TV. If you could imagine basically sitting around with your bros around the table with a few brews.
John,
bamboo things there, and your uncle pop on TV, and so what do you say? And everyone's going, "Oh wow, that's rad, that's cool." And I'm sitting there, I'm like a mute. I don't even want to bring it up.
What was he doing on the TV?
Talking about aliens.
Talking about aliens and stuff.
Aliens, yeah.
What kind of bamboo instruments? Like vibraphones or something?
Vibraphones, How about I think the layman's term was bamboo bong pipes.
Oh, those instruments. Hey, let me tell you a story. This one time, my friend and I made a pact that we wanted to know what it'd feel like to be slipped LSD, and we really trusted each other. So we said, whenever you feel like it, I trust you to dose me. Well, I got him pretty good. He saw demons popping out of the wall, but he wasn't aware he was on LSD, so he didn't tell me the demons were on the wall until way later because he thought he was schizophrenic and losing his fucking mind. So he was just walking around with demons popping out in his day-to-day life, and he never admitted to it until I told him.
Trying to maintain. Everything's okay. Everything's just fine.
Yeah, he was just silent, but he had this weird look on his face. So then like a year went by, and I went to the Smashing Pumpkins concert, and I came back.
Oh, man.
I came back to my buddy's house, and I was all hammered, and I ate these like peach rings, thinking nothing of it. And there was a room full of fucking people, and as time went by, I realized that I was doing things that I normally wouldn't be doing.
It goes on.
You're unraveling.
I was the Pink Floyd was sounding really, really good on the player.
Come to find out, there was no Pink Floyd.
Yeah. My friend was freaking. My other friend, Dr. Robert, was scaring the shit out of me because the cocksucker had a fucking video camera in my face the whole time.
Hey man, how you feeling?
And I was like, dude, there's something wrong with this guy. Why the fuck's this guy got a video camera in my fucking face?
Hey man,
so that wasn't wrong. When I did it to my friend, it was very safe. I didn't really tell anybody. I was like, don't fuck with this guy. And meanwhile, my buddy, who's also tripping, the Dr. Robert, he's got a fucking video camera in my face with this special trip mix that he made. And
here's a guy that goes to see Nine Inch Nails on LSD.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden I realize I'm blowing bubbles, and I'm drawing on the wall with chalk, and I'm wearing a mask, and we're all giggling, and I'm like standing up talking real fast, giggling, like this music sounds really good. I'm crying. I have tears pouring out of my face. What the hell's going on? Did somebody slip me acid? And my fucking bitch of a friend, Jessica, said, you think somebody slipped your acid? When she was on acid too. This fucking bitch says, Brake and I think that somebody slipped us acid. And so she's standing up like starting a fucking campaign trying to figure out, did somebody slip us something? Meanwhile, damn well, she knows that we're both on acid.
Oh, that's weird.
And yeah, and the only agreement that I had with my friend, who she wasn't even involved with this, the only agreement I had with my friend, so fuck him too, was that when you ask if you've been slipped acid, you have to say yes. Otherwise, it's going to get really scary, and I immediately began to have a bad trip.
Wow.
I began to have a bad trip because this fucker was lying to me.
Right.
And I clammed up, and I ripped the mask off, and I sat down. And I was like, I'm not participating in any of this because I feel like I'm acting the way I shouldn't be acting right now. My head started going crazy.
That's
started getting paranoid.
The only people you trust straight up lying to you. That happened to me one time when I was doing things. Something like, it really freaked me out, you know, Sexy Sarah and, you know, Pong Fongy, they just kept telling me that, they kept bringing attention to this, that my hand, and my hand had some, I just severed a nerve and I had surgery on it. And I was like, you guys, please don't mention that. And they just kept laughing. They're like, oh, it looks like a goose. It looks like this. Oh,
I remember that.
It's the hand. They made a song about it or something. I was like, you guys, just please stop talking about my hand.
They kept focusing on this wound you had.
Yeah, yeah, asking about it, talking about it. I was like,
what were you guys on, mushrooms or LSD?
I was on the old LSD.
Ah.
They weren't on anything. So that's, yeah, I was, you know.
They weren't on anything. Oh, no. Did you do that? I think, was it, were you, was that a common thing for you where you would just do it by yourself?
Yeah, that's, yeah. Just because I was, yeah.
What do you know about that, Chad? Do you ever do LSD by yourself or mushrooms?
No. No. No, of course not.
With friends?
I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in the 60s in Los Angeles. I never touched any of the bad stuff there. I just pretended. What I did is I smoked a bong, but I didn't inhale. See, that's what I did. I faked it, the whole thing. The bottom line is that I had your pretty much normal, you know, I actually believed in the whole, you know, peace, love, dope thing.
Chad, are you a pothead?
I know. Actually, I don't do anything other than have a few glasses of wine now. Everything else bores me now. But, you know, but yeah, I remember fondly of some of the days.
Guy
some of the events
a glass of that wine bores me.
Yeah. Well, get a little older, man.
John doesn't drink.
John, well, you know, listen, you know, what is court ordered or you just don't drink?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Really?
Well, not court ordered that I can't drink, but I got the DUI, you know, that was court ordered, you know.
Oh, that was years ago.
It was, but I learned my lesson, you know. Don't
but
go out
you were
and
innocent,
drink.
Right?
No, I was totally guilty.
You were drunk. Okay, well, that's good, yeah. Yeah, it's like when I, you know, when I hit the back of that 58 Chevy in my 76 Datsun pickup truck, I was innocent.
That was you!
It was me.
It wasn't me, man. I was temporarily abducted.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? The great thing about it is no one got hurt. I basically had the motor and transmission pop up into my cab, and I ran about 3 miles, passed on the floor, woke up, and I, honest to God, thought that somebody had stole my truck. I looked out there. I could not recall. I couldn't piece things together. Then it finally dawned on me that it was me.
Yeah,
there you go. Adventures in drinking.
I got robbed at a Liquor Point by myself once.
Oh, man.
That's a song lyric I wrote down like 15 years ago and never got to use. Don't steal that. Well,
you guys, where are you guys, where are you guys broadcasting at, or is that a secret?
Roswell.
Underground bunkers. Indianapolis.
D-U-M-B's.
Indianapolis, Indiana. Oh, Crossroads.
Indianapolis? Oh, God. Dang, hell, my gosh.
My gosh.
What do you know about Indianapolis?
I love the place.
Yeah, we want to hear your real feelings here. I know that people hate it because of the whole gay thing. We've talked to people about that.
What? Well, that's still going on?
Probably. I hope it's not. Hopefully they forgot about it. Well, you had a negative reaction. Like, oh, Indiana. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that? Is that because you're from the west side?
Breaking up a little bit.
Do you guys hate us on the West Coast? You guys out there, do you guys not like Indiana? It's the vibe I get.
I'm kind of Mexico right now, if you can hear me. I'm down in Mexico. I'm on the Pacific Coast.
Nice.
On the beach right now, looking at the ocean.
What are you doing down there? Are you friends with Jesse Ventura?
Yeah, come on down. Come on down with the other. You can be the aliens down here.
Yeah.
It's a great place. It's warm.
Are you friends with Jesse Ventura?
God. Yeah, actually, you know what? I know him. He's down further south, but yeah, Jeff. Yeah, you want to talk to? Get Jesse on your show.
Yeah, we'd love to do that.
Yeah, set that up for us.
Yeah, he's impressive, man. I'm telling you what. I tell you, he'll basically straighten you guys out on the whole UFO, black ops, secret societies, the whole thing. I tell you, he's a great guy, man. He really is.
I think we're gonna get on that. Hopefully next week he'll be on the show.
Jesse's governor.
Yeah, get Jesse on the show. He's 10 times better than I, and he's so informed about all this stuff. Me, it's just my pedigree. I mean, I came by this by accident, all this other stuff. I didn't ask to be abducted. I didn't ask to be George Van Tassel's nephew, and I didn't ask to be out in the middle of the desert. I actually would have preferred to have a regular house in town. So, you know, this by default.
So you said this, you know. So this movie you're working on, it's in pre-production. You said you hope it's going to be out by when, 2017?
Yeah,
and you 2007. Said the estimated budget on that's $40 million?
Yeah, our budget's $40 million. We've came close getting a couple of people, you know, signed up, but then one thing or another, you know, usually it's creative control or some other nonsense. What I don't want this thing to turn into is Indiana Jones or Temple of Doom.
Get with the Indiana.
Yeah, Indianapolis or doomed. Yeah, yeah. I want this thing to be real, and you know, the story's good, and we had people from Warner Brothers originally, you know, scar tissue from there. And the one guy, he was involved with Pirates of Caribbean. And, you know, he just wanted to screw up the script so bad, I just couldn't stand it anymore, so I fired them all. But, you know, so now we're out looking for some more money. We had, like I said, had a couple, you know, somebody's going to do this thing simply because it's so contemporary. It's based on real true events. I don't know how many UFO stories are based on real events.
Fire,
you know,
in the sky. Fire? Was that fire in the sky? That was based on real events.
Yeah,
right?
It was.
That's what it said at the beginning.
On cover, yeah.
That one seemed pretty authentic because it wasn't, like, showing any crazy shit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, you know, just the guy, you know, they got a phone call from him saying help or whatever. Yeah, he's, like, naked in the fucking gas station. What is that?
No, that's the movie. That's GiantRockTheMovie.com. GiantRockTheMovie.com.
Is the script complete?
Yeah, the script's complete.
First
ready
draft?
To go, ready to shoot. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris
Christopherson, he wanted in the thing. Tom Sizemore, Rudolph Martin, they've all signed up to be in there. I mean, there's
Rudy.
A bunch of
you got Chris?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, a bunch of Hollywood types.
That
yeah,
rocks.
Want to be in it?
That rocks.
That's fucking awesome. Now, what kind of role would he play? Would he be like Van Trassel? Did I say that right?
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
Who
a
would
lot of fun with a lot of people?
What role would what role did Chris Christopherson want to play? I did not get that far.
Yeah.
What role did he? Oh.
Oh, there you are. There you, you're fading out. Go
I was
ahead.
Saying, what role did Christopherson want to play? Or were you trying to get him to play?
Oh, man. can you guys hear me?
Yes.
God dang it. You guys are breaking up, man. At any rate, bottom line is that, yeah, you guys want to you wanna be in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yes. Yeah.
How are we going to do that? We're going to meet you, or how do we do that?
I think one of you guys need to be one of the aliens.
Sweet, man.
I vote John.
I'll do it. Well, you're joking. Yeah. You're joking.
No, he's not joking. I didn't hear any sarcasm in that at all. He's 100% serious. We're going to hold him to it.
Yeah, I want to be in the movie, Chad. Can I be in the movie?
Yeah.
I think we're cutting out. All right, cool.
Well, listen, hey, man, thanks. You guys are breaking up. But, yeah, anybody wants to, hey, definitely go to my website, you know, www.giantrockthemovie.com. You can see the trailer. And, you know, keep looking for us, or go buy the book. Buy it on Kindle. I'd appreciate it.
$4.99, that's a pretty good deal on Kindle.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, listen, I can't hear you, but I'm gonna
oh,
check
that's
out.
That's what's going on. All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
All right, thank you.
Bye bye.
I like that guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he sent us a copy of his book. It's in the email if you want to read it, John. I read the first chapter. It looked pretty intriguing.
And that's what the movie is going to be about. His story.
GiantRockTheMovie.com. Go Giant Rock the Kindle by Chad Meek. M-E-E-K. That was pretty interesting. Now, were we cutting out, or is there a conspiracy?
I don't know.
He didn't want to tell me who Christopherson was playing.
And he didn't really want me to be in the movie.
He didn't want you to be in the movie. He didn't want to tell us who Christopherson was playing. He smoked but didn't inhale.
Right, right. I've heard that before somewhere.
And we need to contact the body immediately.
The body, right. The mind, the body, Jesse Ventura. But he didn't tell us how to do that.
No.
He just agreed that we needed to.
Well, I think he suggested it, actually.
Yeah, you need to get Jesse on the show.
So this Nick Frost and this Simon Pegg, right, and Paul, they're going through, they're on their, he cut me off really when I was trying to explain this to you.
Oh, okay.
They're going on their UFO tour, you know, across Nevada and all that shit, New Mexico, and they hit an alien with their car.
Oh, man, dude.
Yeah.
That's some serious stuff.
And he needs their help. And the alien looks just like the aliens on the stickers in the 90s.
Yeah.
And he's voiced by Seth Rogen.
No, the alien is Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
That happens, man. The people flying through the desert hit an alien.
Yeah, they hit a fucking alien.
And what are you going to do?
And then they got Jason Bateman, you know, as like a detective following them. And Bill Hader's one of the cops, I think. It's pretty good. It's pretty good, man. I liked it. And I don't know if I've ever watched any of that Simon Pegg guys movies. Well, I think that's the end of our show. John, do you have something you want to say?
I just...
Huh?
I really want to be in that movie, man, the alien. I want to play the alien in the movie, Giant Rock.
You'd have to look like a gray, and he said they're short.
Yeah.
They need little people for that.
Yeah. It was his idea.
You're too big.
Yeah, I'm too fat. I could be the fat, gray, 30-year-old alien.
It could be the Seth Rogen alien.
There you go. Hey, dude. There you go. Yeah. I might be able to pull that off.
I think you could. I've got faith in you.
I'm gonna email him and tell him that I'll fly down there and do it.
No. He's got to pay you to fly. Don't volunteer anything.
Okay.
He's got to offer you room and board and a trailer. Maybe not your own trailer. We can share a trailer.
As long as you get both of us. He's like, I just want one of you. Well, hey, we're both coming.
Yeah, as long as you don't jerk off in the trailer, it should be okay.
If I got the alien suit, well, you know, I'm fine.
Alien suit.
And then we'll send you
But how would you do that in the alien suit? You wouldn't.
Yeah, as long as I got the alien suit, I'm protected.
You know, I wonder if you did have a big costume like that. You know what's creepy? I wonder if any of those, I'm trying to think of big costumes, you know, and I'm thinking Disney characters.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any freaks who, you know, who just walk around Disney theme park and they're Winnie the Pooh character jerking off.
Oh, and then, you know what? There probably is. That's just gross. Don't do that, guys. Come on now.
I bet you that happens.
I almost guarantee it.
I like to watch those Disney fail videos. I'm a big fan of those fails on the YouTube.
What are those?
Just type in fail or type in. I like Scarecam too. Those are my favorite. Scarecam. It's like it's just teeny boppers usually, you know. And like they'll, you know, for example, this girl's going to put the pizza in the oven, and,
uh-huh.
when she opens it, her friend is in the oven. You know, throws the pizza.
Dude, we should do some of those.
They're all handheld.
That'd be hilarious.
They're pretty good.
The jokes don't turn out, you end up getting punched or something. Yeah.
But the Disney fail ones are pretty good because they're all theme park related. And it's like, you know, the Beast is like up there from Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
And like his pants fall down or somebody's dancing and they're fucking, the character's head falls off.
Oh, man. You know, wow.
They take
dramatic.
That shit real seriously.
Yeah, that
is
dramatic.
Hey, John, can you do half this list with me?
I can do this. The one that I can see.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank Darren Snyder at Indian Tune and Mike Moore at WFODix.com and John G at 405. John G at 405 Media Group. Matt Leroy from Beardy and the Beast. Mary Elizabeth Rumsey at meandrhyme.wordpress.com. Rich Barker from Punk Rock Night at melodyin.com. At Melody. I mean, I'm just stuttering all over the place. John.
Ron at Radio Max Music, Jeremy at Couch Potato Nation, shout out to all you guys for playing the show. Mark at Tangent Mountain Network, Jack at the Mix FM, Suma Peter at Loud Tana Online Radio. I think Chris, isn't he coming out of
Africa?
Out of Africa. Wow, I like that.
John?
Okay.
Click that mouse.
We also want to take time to say hello and thank you to Tom at TalkStream Live.
Are Lynn and Ron playing our show anymore? They don't respond to our emails when we send it to them.
I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know. I don't know what to deal with it. They're from Ireland, you know? You can't trust
Scotland.
Them. Scotland, even worse. Linda and Ron and
Scotland. You know those are two different countries, right?
Scotland and Ireland, they sound the same to me.
Tom at TalkStream Live, Mike at IRN Internet Radio Network, Toby at the Radio Blitz, the Morris Soundman, United Sounds Choice, Tico at FJS Radio, Peter at Cornucopia Broadcasting, and Big Nate on the air at Cover Charge Radio.
Dropping bombs.
I liked that guy.
I love that guy. He did a lot of good work.
Work.
Yeah, for us, he did work for us. He did the show, like, whatever, you know? Dude,
man, I carry that whole show on my fucking shoulders, just like I do every fucking day. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you very much. I hope you play it, and I know this is recording, and I hope you play it. Okay, see you guys.